what are the type of works that will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. We're currently taking your questions and doing our best to answer them. I think it's been a really great experience going through questions from listeners just like you. In fact, if you have a question, you can reach out to us by email. You can get us at radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion and question with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. I'm here with Dr. Bob Wilkin. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Sean.
Are you up for answering more, even more questions?
Yes, I definitely am. Let's go for it.
I mean, this pile is not getting any, you know, every time we answer like two, we get like about five or six or ten.
I think this should become a major part of what we do because it's scratching where the people are itching.
What about our comedy, little comedy hour? I thought we were aiming for that.
I'm thinking we're headed there at some point in the future.
Only when retired. This is a question from Marlon. He read an article, he doesn't say which one, on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he has more of a comment, and he wants to know what we think. He says, in the context, it appears to me that the works that are being judged are how we are building off the foundation, meaning teachings in particular. If we are teaching doctrines that are gold, there will be no loss. But if we allow deceptive doctrines to be believed, the works will be burned. Then he just says, the loss of souls we were teaching. Let me know what you think.
And he's talking about 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through basically 17, 10 through 15 on the building up the church,
right,
and 16 and 17. I wrote a blog about this. I think he's responding to it.
I mean, there's a lot on our website about this passage,
right,
because it's a key rewards passage.
It is.
And there Paul is definitely teaching that even though Christians will never come under judgment for their eternal destiny, their eternal life, as Jesus promised in John chapter 6, verse 524. You've passed from death into life and shall not come under judgment.
I mean, there's a bunch of them in 6, too, but that's
right,
the one I think you're thinking of, shall not come into judgment.
But we still have a performance evaluation.
We do. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, and that's here in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15, or 5 through 15, and also 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9, 10, and 11, Romans 14, 10 to 12, bunch of passages.
Right. So let's say, for example, in verse 12, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear for the day will declare it, and the day we think is the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, as you might imagine, you know, straw and hay and stubble might burn, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And so Marlon is, he wants to know what we think. Are the works specifically, and is it only limited to teaching?
And my answer would be it includes teaching, but they're not limited to teaching. For one thing, this falls in the context of 1 Corinthians 1:10 to the end of chapter 4, dealing with divisions in the church. In fact, if you look, we were talking before we started at 3:1-3, talks, or 3:1-4, talks about divisions and how divisions are not healthy for the church.
Right.
So to be divisive and to say, well, I'm for Pastor Paul, but I'm not for Pastor Apollos, or I'm for Pastor Peter, but I'm not for Pastor Apollos, or I'm of Christ, I'm not for these other people.
Yeah.
You're separating the body, the local church, into groups, and that's not healthy.
Right, and it's more than just identifying with a particular teacher. Usually when there's divisions like that, as Paul says, there's envy.
Right.
There's strife, and there's divisions. And so it's like there's heart attitudes that are at work.
Right, exactly. And another thing to keep in mind is notice he's talking about two types of building materials: gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Most people, and it sounds like Marlin falls in this category, thinks the wood, hay, and straw are bad works. Or in his case, I think he thinks they're bad teachings,
yeah,
right?
He says these are deceptive doctrines.
Deceptive doctrines. I would say that that's incorrect because the issue here is not good doctrine versus bad doctrine or good works versus bad works. It's enduring works. Works that, when they're tested at the judgment seat of Christ, will endure versus works that don't endure.
Right.
And so I heard Zane Hodges teach on this one time, and he said, the Bible doesn't command us or forbid us to have youth groups at our local churches.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to have a youth group, we can do it, but we're certainly not under any mandate to do that. And he said, however, if what we do in the youth group is mostly fun and games,
mm-hmm.
and very little spiritual content,
right.
then most of what we do in the youth group is going to burn up. Say, for example, we go on a week-long ski trip,
mm-hmm.
and some adults go along as the chaperones. Well, that'll be a lot of fun.
Right.
But mostly it's going to be recreation.
Right.
Now, there might be a little bit of Bible teaching during that time, a little
yeah.
bit of discipleship, a little bit of evangelism, and that has eternal value. But his point was most of that's going to burn up. And I think that's the point. It's not talking about sinful things. It's talking about things like going to football games or watching football games on TV or hunting and fishing, which are good things, but they really lack enduring value.
All right, well, let me play defense for Marlin. Didn't Paul just say you shouldn't have envy, strife, carnality, division? Those are
right.
bad things.
Right.
So are you saying those aren't going to be brought up and those things aren't going to be burned up?
Well, those things, of course, would be burned up. But I think the point here is he's not talking about, when you look in 1 Corinthians 2:14 to 3:3, he talks about three types of believers. The spiritual believer in 2:14, 15, and 16. The carnal believer in 3:1 through 3, and then the unbeliever. I think I said three types of believers. Two types of believers and the natural man, who's the unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
And he compares the carnal believer to the natural man, not to the spiritual man.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you're behaving like mere men. You're behaving like natural men.
Right.
So that sometimes baby Christians act a lot like unbelievers.
Sometimes.
Yeah, okay. All the time.
Most of the time.
I know you've had plenty of ministry experience, so you know about this.
Well, I've been that guy, I think, probably.
Well, I've been that guy, too. But the thing about it is, we grow out of that, right? We grow out of
right.
infancy. We shouldn't stay in that state. But when Paul is talking in 5 through 15, he's talking about himself and Apollos. Verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And he goes on to say, we are God's fellow workers in verse 9. And in verse 10, he talks about being a wise master builder.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Paul is talking in this section about the envy and strife, because that's not what characterizes the spiritual believer.
Okay, so the we in verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, is specifically, it's not Paul and me and you and
right.
the Corinthians, it's Paul and Apollos.
Right, and we could extend that to any spiritual believer, any wise master builder. By application, it would apply to all wise Christians. And I think, for example, and I wrote another blog about this, when he says he himself will be saved, he's not talking about getting into heaven. We should probably translate that he himself will be healthy
mm-hmm.
at the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, the wise master builders are going to hear the Lord's well done good servant, Luke 19:17. But that doesn't mean that 100% of their works have enduring value. And so Marlin's right that teaching is a very important part of this. I don't deny that, but it's more than that. I mean, didn't Paul make a point of saying that he worked night and day and he would do tent making during the day so that at night he could do ministry without having to charge the people at the
right.
various churches he was in? And that was an example to the Corinthians. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, it seems to me that's part of building up the local church, as having godly examples.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole of the life that's going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And whatever we do to build up the church, that's going to be rewardable. And it seems to me, even if you're out there helping an unbeliever,
yeah,
that's ultimately building up the church because it brings glory to Christ and it brings glory to the local church.
But if you blow $5,000 of the church's budget on a new espresso machine, that might be very popular with people.
Now, there's a good point. If you spend a lot of money on something that may help you get bigger attendance on Sunday, but really doesn't intrinsically have any eternal value, mm-hmm. most of that's going to burn up.
Right.
A lot of churches today are spending a lot of money on things with limited value. Unfortunately, what often goes along with that is a diluted preaching,
right.
where instead of preaching the Bible, preachers end up preaching pop psychology, more or less.
So are you saying all of my dry ice that we use on stage to create cool smoke effect during the preaching, doesn't have eternal value?
I really like that. I thought that was great. I think Paul has something about that somewhere in his letters, doesn't he?
Yeah,
about,
you need dry ice for that preaching effect,
yeah.
you know. This is one last verse. It's in verse 17. Paul says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Okay, that's scary.
Yeah,
what is that about?
I suggest that verses 16 and 17, the temple of God is still talking about the local church as it was in 5 through 15. And what he's saying is, if you're part of breaking a church up, then God is going to bring judgment on you in this life.
At the judgment seat of Christ?
Well, and at the judgment seat of Christ, but I think first and foremost now, but then at the judgment seat too.
Hmm.
It seems to me we should think very carefully about building up the church, and we should do everything we can never to hurt the church.
This ties into a theme that we visited again and again and again. You cannot be a spiritual mature Christian all by yourself. You were meant to be in a church.
Absolutely.
You're meant to be working to build up the church. If you're not in a church, you can't become this kind of spiritual master builder that we should aspire to be.
Right. Christianity is corporate. We're all part of the body of Christ, invisible, but we're also part of local churches, visible. And so, yes, if you're not part of a local assembly, we urge you, find a church that clearly teaches the Word of God. And if you're having trouble finding one, go to our website, faithalone.org. You can look under Connect, and we have a list of churches throughout the country that are solid Bible-teaching churches that accurately proclaim the grace of God.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what happens to a believer who commits terrible sins. Tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.